ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, witches, warlocks, vampires, and werewolves. Welcome to another episode of the Completely Mental Misadventures of a Thrift Store. As always, I am Matt Lehman, the owner of Finders Thrift and Vinyl, where our tales take place and are recorded. To my right, as again, as always, is the rum to my cola, the crayon to my vodka, the cause to my mo, Francisco Ramirez.
Hello, everyone.
And this time...
Are you sure it's not Francisco Mumbles Ramirez?
Well, Mr. Mumbles.
I guess we'll see, Mr. Mumbles. Also, to the left of me, your right, is a newcomer, a guest we have for the first time today. His name is Jose Ramirez. No, they are not related, but Jose, welcome to the team.
Hey, what's up? Well, good to be with you.
We don't know if we're not related. There's probably some distant lineage.
Yeah,
there.
Probably.
I'm not saying there is or isn't. I'm just saying that I feel like...
You always said
I'm
Grandpa was the devil. So
there are a lot of Ramirez's in the shop right now. So we brought Jose in. Jose, I'll give you a little background real fast, and then he can fill you in. He started coming into Finders Thrift and Vinyl really early on, and then kind of didn't come in for a while.
That's right.
And then came back in, and I didn't recognize him because he had lost...
85 pounds.
85 pounds. And they decided to open a thrift shop next to me. And I'll let him take over from there, and he can tell you his background, because he's got a very interesting story.
That's right. I started coming over here to Finders. Yeah. When you were just starting, I believe.
About 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We used to call it the hippie store.
Nice.
The hippie store, yeah, because we were out picking, and I was selling stuff online. And so we kind of had a where we would go, you know, we would call different thrift stores by the people that were in it. And when we discovered Finders, tucked in the corner right there, we called it the hippie store.
You touched on a very interesting point. I think everybody that thrifts, they have their names for those stores. I mean, you know that it's an Angel View or a Goodwill, but you're like the good Goodwill. Let's go to the good or the dingy one or the hippie store or whatever that.
Yeah.
And I'll take hippie. I mean, I'm fine with that because everybody always comes in and like, you always have the most weird and interesting things. And as long as you remember me, and I'm not just that thrift store that's tucked away, as long as I have a nickname,
it was the hippie store.
You always had a good eye. You always picked the eye. I always watch to see what people are buying, and I can usually pick people that are picking or reselling.
Yeah.
And you always knew what you were picking up. So, I mean, I was like, I would absolutely put that online to find it if I had more time or was more interested in doing so. So.
Yeah. That's how we started, you know, and then after I lost the 85 pounds and some people started asking me, hey, how'd you do it? And we got interested in helping other people and, you know, gaining back their health and teaching them how to eat healthy and all this other stuff. And we were just wondering how we could share this with the community. And that's when we had the idea of starting a nonprofit organization and a sustainable way. You know, to sustain the nonprofit organization was, you know, with a thrift store, receiving donations and selling them and funding our programs for the community.
Now, prior to that, you had done other things on that along those lines. Like, you used to buy truckloads of merchandise.
Yeah.
Usually it was return merchandise?
Yeah, it was containers. Containers by the truckload or by the train. And we were doing, overstock inventories for the big chain department stores. So we're dealing with a couple of them.
What did you think of that? Did you like that?
It was great. It was a very, very good business. We were taking in a lot of the merchandise, but that was when the economy was really bad. And the economy was really bad to the point where a lot of the merchandise we were getting had never even touched the floor.
So they're just flipping it over because they need to move clear shelf space.
No, not even that. They had so much inventory that from their logistics centers, they would send it to us because the season was gone.
Oh, right.
And they didn't even have chance to put it in their stores on the floor. So, yeah, you can imagine, we were getting stuff that never even touched the floor of the stores.
That's crazy.
So that was crazy.
So you're buying, you're basically buying, you don't necessarily know what you're buying at that point, but it sounds like you're mostly getting large quantities of whatever it is, be it sweatshirts or boots.
We would buy houseware.
Houseware.
And as broad as that sounds.
Houseware is apparently a legal term for everything, because I have tried to move my shop out of my location, not because I don't like it, but I just need more space. But I can't, because all of the large thrift stores and Target and Walmart and all of those stores have no compete clauses with them, and their no compete clauses says you can't move into the same complex if you sell housewares. And I talked to a lawyer and a bunch of lawyers, and they're like, the problem with that is housewares is so general that they can come at you and say, nope, a couch is a houseware, or this is a houseware. So he's like, I wouldn't go anywhere near that, because they could really shut down your lease. I mean, they would probably go after before you moved in, but at the same time, they're like, they did that specific language because they want to know that they're covered.
They found a loophole to screw the little man.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I didn't know this, but is it Walmart that has the optometrist in it?
Yeah.
So an eye doctor, an optometrist, can't move into the complex that Walmart contains anywhere, because Walmart has an optometrist on site, so they have a no-compete clause with optometrists.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
What a way to secure the market, huh?
So you were picking up their...
So I was picking up everything they had from the big department stores. So houseware, clothing, electronics, toys, you name it. We were picking up everything.
Did you have any way to decide what... Like, were you able to pick and choose, or did you have to just take whatever they gave you?
Whatever they gave us. It was like, you know, as is, and you can't complain. Basically, you just bought, you know, you said, I want a truckload of houseware or a truckload of clothing, and that's what you would get.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there was some, like, you could say, I don't do clothing, so don't give me your clothing, mm-hmm. but give me your houseware, kind of thing.
Okay. Or electronics.
So there was a little bit of leeway there.
Yeah, there was.
But not a whole lot.
There was.
Yeah.
And so we did that for some years until they found out that they were, because there was lots of warehouses. I wasn't the only one. There was lots of warehouses all over the country. They finally, you know, things were so bad in the economy that they were shooting themselves in the leg, because we were selling to the vendors like in small stores or in swap meet.
You were selling to people like me or to whomever you were. So you were getting it from them for pennies on the dollar, selling it for nickels.
Wholesale.
I was selling it for quarters, and Walmart said, hey, we're getting screwed by the dude selling it for quarters.
Exactly.
And they followed the trail, breadcrumb trail, and said, stop selling our leftovers to these guys.
So what they did is
this is corporate America awesome.
This is So what they did is basically they shut down the program, and they screwed all the small warehouses. And they shut down the program. You can't do anything about it. So they shut down that program, and they concentrated their sales to only a couple of dealers in the country. And, you know, most of these dealers were exporting everything to Central, South America, and Africa. So that was it.
Yeah, so they wanted... They killed us. So Walmart and Target or whomever, the large department stores, they want it out of their markets so that they're not competing. Which
against
would be
themselves.
Taking out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I know a guy that does the same thing with records, but he's the only guy. Like, he buys records from record stores that have been returned. So as a record store, if you buy 42 copies of Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction and only 30 of them sell, you can kick the other 12 back to the distributor.
Hmm.
And then the distributor just sells them, same thing, for pennies on the dollar to this guy or to somebody else. And he does very well, but a lot of his is dinged and damaged, so... and he sells pretty pricey, but it's the same market. You're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's an interesting market, but it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's extremely hard to tap into.
It is really, really hard to get back into this.
Yeah.
No. It's impossible.
So you got out of that, and then what did you do? How did you get into the thrift store that you opened next door to me?
Yeah, well, what happens is, like I said, we started a nonprofit organization wanting to help the community get healthier, and we were really focusing on child obesity and trying to help kids, you know, child obesity is a big thing here in the United States. And obesity is a big thing here in the United States. So,
No pun intended.
No, Mr. Mumbles.
I knew that was directed.
No. Salute. Anyways, so we were you know, looking for a way to help out the community and share our testimony with them. So we decided to open a thrift store, and we started looking for places. Where can we open the thrift store? And I always thought that, you know, if you open a thrift store close to other thrift stores, it's good because most people that shop at thrift stores like to go, you know, to a cluster of thrift stores, and the more the merrier. And that's when we found an empty and vacant space right next door to Finders, the hippie store.
The hippie store. I agree that I was, so right next to me is an Angel View thrift store, and Finders was open before me. Now, there was another boutique vintage shop that was there first, and I did this. Sure. I was in the same boat as you. I said, well, there's one here already, and I talked with her. I said, do you have any animosity if I open a shop next to you? She's like, no, the more the merrier. So I opened up, and then we found out that Angel View was opening, which is a big thrift store in Southern California. They opened up right next door to me like 3 months after I opened. And I was ecstatic because I wasn't hurting for business, but again, more the merrier, and Angel View is very well known in Southern Cal, and I thought for sure that they would really bring me business. But what I've found, and what I know another guy that owns a thrift store in Palm Desert, and he's right across the street from a Goodwill, like literally walking distance, maybe 100 yards. He and I both have the same problem, is the small mom and pop ones have a problem drawing traffic in. Mm-hmm. I cannot get people to walk around, which again is 200 yards maybe, mm-hmm. to walk all the way around from the front door to Angel View to my door.
Yeah.
But when people walk over and they come into my shop, they're like, wow, this is amazing. You have great stuff. You have really cool prices, and you just have interesting things, because most people don't know this, but those big thrift stores now sell online. So if you go into a thrift store and you can't figure out why they're not selling anything interesting, it's because all the interesting thing is now online.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas anything that I have online is also in the shop. It's discounted in the shop because obviously I have to pay fees online, so it's cheaper in the shop, but it's still there. So I keep all the interesting things there. So I agree, but it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't. You know, I thought, you know, because we're going to be there, we're going to get some foot traffic from the Angel View and everything. No, it didn't work out.
It did not. But now you have, so you closed down Wholesome Living. Now, how was it, did you continue on with the, help, trying to move into the community and help them with their weight loss or not?
Still doing that. But we, unfortunately, the thrift store was not, you know, sustainable.
That location is tough. That location is really, really hard. If you're not familiar with where I am, again, I'm in Old Town La Quinta, which is deep in La Quinta. There's only one road in, one road out. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a tourist destination, but if you don't know it, you really don't know what's going on. The only reason I survive, not necessarily the only reason I survive, but I have made myself a destination by selling records. There are only two. Realistically, there are only three record stores in the valley. One in Palm Springs, one in Palm Desert, and one in La Quinta. And they're all about 30 minutes apart. So I was lucky enough to get that. But people still don't like driving to my shop for records, even though I'm the biggest record store in the valley. It's a tough location.
It is.
So, and especially for a thrift store to survive. And it should have worked, but it didn't. We just couldn't pull it off. So you closed down that thrift store, and now...
And now we moved to Old Town, in the heart of Old Town, La Quinta, the shopping center.
Which is literally 100 yards from my front door.
And it's ridiculous, difference.
And you're killing it like gangbusters. You're pulling in cash hand over fist. You can't even count it, that's
not true. No. Come on.
But you're not
sell records.
But you're not necessarily a thrift store now.
No.
You beefed it up mostly. You're getting a lot of stuff from Mexico, silver, or not necessarily all from. But
well, yeah. Now we do. It's more like a curiosity shop, I guess, if you want to say so. But we focus a lot on sterling silver jewelry. So we have very native and tribal jewelry. We have Native American, Balinese, Tibetan, Hill Tribe silver. And we also do costume, vintage costume jewelry, and some antiques and some fine art.
Yeah, and you carry a lot of local artists as well, or some local artists.
Yeah, some local artists, yeah, consign with us, yeah, nice. For sure.
Well, that's all fun and interesting, but what you're... Yeah.
Oh, here
we go,
What you're really here for, to plug... Well, first of all, you didn't say the name of your shop, so for anybody that's listening that's local, please tell me the name of your shop.
I didn't think it was valid, but here...
Oh, no, absolutely. You're here, and I appreciate you coming in and telling your story, so please tell, plug away. If you have anything you want to plug, you can plug.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, the name of the shop is Art925. And we are in Old Town La Quinta, right next door to where they make the nitrogen-infused ice cream.
Across from Stuff Pizzas to go if you're
yes,
local.
Yes, that's right.
Again, one of the reasons you're here is because while you were across or next door to me, we had many, many interesting conversations and diatribes about people that came into the thrift store or donations because you did that more than I did. I learned very early on that I did not want to deal with donations.
My God.
You, on the other hand, needed to be beat over the head a few times to understand. But again, that was your business as you were taking donations, so you didn't really have much of a choice. You did have some gems, but for the most part, or not for the most part, but you did also have some horror stories.
Some nightmares. This
was also a time when Frankie was there, so Frankie can jump in as he heard these stories as well. The first one I want to talk about is the monster. This is the greatest thrift story I have ever heard as far as donations go, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, so fire away.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it was a real horror story. You know, going out picking, and it was a weekend, and I see this sign, you know, garage sale, but it said estate sale. So I decided to go see what was going on, and I saw a lot of really nice, mostly antiques. So I walked in there, and I spoke to the people that were doing the estate sale. And I said, so, well, my question was, what do you guys do with everything you can sell? And so they tell me, well, we usually donate it because the owner of this house has to vacate the property. They got to get rid of everything. And so they are in, you know, we're just going to donate everything. And I was like, perfect. I could come and pick it up. Whatever you guys don't sell, you know, I'll come and pick it up. And they were like, oh, this is great. Because we don't have to take it to
sure.
you. You and, come and pick it up.
And,
you know?
And at the same time, a lot of the larger thrift stores around here, if you want donations picked up, they have a week waiting list. So if you've got somebody that's going to say, hey, I'll come in on Sunday at 5 o'clock and pick up all your crap, they're like, that's great.
Yeah,
so,
no, they were.
So yeah,
you were
a golden child. You were an angel sent from heaven coming down to pick up their garbage.
You should have seen. I mean, when I told them, yeah, you know what, I'll come and pick it up, they were like, oh, great. You know, we don't have to deal with it. And then they kind of even picked, they even went deeper. They were like, you know, we'll give you everything, but are you gonna leave everything clean? And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, the house has to be, you know, pretty much broom clean, you know, swapped. And I was like,
wow, I didn't know they clean after you.
Yeah, pretty much.
I can cut you in on this. What they were trying to do is they were
save money.
They were double dipping.
If
most of those, so you were dealing with the third party, and those third parties again come in to clear an estate. So they have to come out and find the stuff, but in their clauses, in their contracts, it's the house will
leave.
Be broom swept. So they were thinking, well, you'll come in and wipe out and broom sweep it, and you'll do all the work that they're paying us to do, and we got money on top of it.
And I was like, well, not exactly am I going to, because I was like, you know, I'm not going to exactly, you know, sweep and mop the floors, but I will take everything out. So, you know, just leave it empty. I'll take everything with me. And they were like, okay, that works. You know, we need everything out of here. So I said, okay, give me a call when you guys are ready, and I'll show up. So sure enough, they had the days of the sale that was going on. And right at the end of the last day, they give me a call, and they say, man, we haven't been able to sell a whole lot of stuff. The house is full. We have, you know, sales haven't been that good. So if you want to come and see how much stuff is left, and so maybe if you want to even rent a U-Haul truck or something. So when they're telling me this on the phone, they're telling me if you're probably going to need to rent a U-Haul.
I was like,
oh my gosh, it's the mother load, you know?
And I'm so glad.
And I had already, you know, eyeballed the place, so I kind of knew what I was looking at. And I was like, are you kidding me? There's a lot of antiques. There's a lot of antique furniture, vintage furniture, not mid-century. Antique furniture, yeah. You know, and I was like, you know what, there's some really interesting stuff in there. So I had seen it, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll rent a U-Haul. And, you know, the good Mexican in me was like, you know what, forget the rental, I'll just do two or three trips, and I'll take some stuff to my garage, and I'll take some stuff to the store, and I'll just, you know, whatever I have to do, I'll make it work, you know? Save some money at the same time, because the thrift store was broke. So, you know, rent a U-Haul is an expense that I wasn't looking to, you know, I wasn't really looking forward to.
Especially paying that gas for the weight and everything.
All that stuff, you know. So it's like, you know, I'll just do it in my small truck because I have a small Ford Ranger that...
One of the smallest trucks.
Yeah, but it has a roof rack.
But you have, yeah, I was going to say, you've got rails on it, so you can stack it up like a true Mexican does.
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you.
That's not an insult.
Let me tell you. That's not an insult. But let me tell you, you saw me come to the thrift store a couple times.
I did.
And I would literally have people down Highway 111... honking their horns at me, applauding, whistling, cheering, people on their bikes stopping to videotape me as I drove by because they could not believe how much I would stack up that truck.
I was actually taking notes every time that you came in. I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know that you could do that. Let me write that down. I was taking diagrams and drawing it down. I was like, that's amazing. I've never seen shit stacked that high. And it was pictures, notes. It was like a crime scene for me.
It was like watching a circus act.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
that old Beverly Hills hillbillies.
There you go. No. You know what? Like Sanford and Son. If you ever saw that. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you can do that, but anyways.
So you made, let's say, 5 trips?
Easily, and this is a small thrift store, nonprofit organization, ran by my wife and myself.
Less than 1,000 square feet. It was probably 800 square feet.
Yeah. So, you know, Guess was helping me load the stuff up in the truck. My wife was.
Gabby is his wife.
She's a trooper.
For the record, Gabby runs the outfit.
Yep, for sure.
In any good relationship, a woman runs the outfit.
Yep. So, it was me and my wife. And we did like 5 trips.
This was, let's say, Sunday night?
Sunday night. So by the time we finished with the last load, and I mean some of the stuff that, because our commitment was to take everything.
Right.
And some of the stuff was just, oh my gosh, as nasty as you can imagine.
That's the joys of taking donations. You take everything.
There was some stuff that was just real antiques, great shape, but there was stuff like that was just...
Dirty diapers.
Well,
rat infested.
No,
nothing that bad.
But. They were crusty couches, but no crap pipes.
Those come in later.
Seams of the couch.
They had.
She didn't release the crack pipes. They were still in her possession.
They were probably.
That's why you didn't find them. She was still holding onto them.
Okay, there was like. Let me say, there was probably like 4 cats and like 3 dogs and a rabbit in the house.
Wow.
So...
It's quite a menagerie.
Let me just tell you that, like, one couch was... I thought it was a furry couch, but it wasn't.
You thought it was a mid-century modern.
Yeah, you know, one of those like cowhide or something like that.
Turned out it was a white couch.
It turned out it was, I don't know, but it was just nasty. So anyways, we took everything out of there. And we filled in the house, we filled in the garage, and you know, here in the desert it never rains, so we decided to put stuff in the yard and just cover it with the tarp, right? In the backyard. And the next day we're gonna wash it and clean it and do whatever we could to get it, you know, presentable for sale. So we ended the last trip. There was still daylight. We ended the last trip like at 4:35. And when we got home and finished unloading all the rest of the stuff, there was a massive couch, and it was just dirty. It was just nasty, but it was a good couch. It was a good leather couch, good, you know, genuine leather, old couch, but it was just dirty. It was just dirty. It was like, you know, hairballs and...
It was like Frank. Cat. It was a Frank
cat.
Couch. Wow.
Cat puke. Oh.
That's where we're going here.
Okay. I said fur balls. But, you know, it was like cat puke and...
Nice.
Oh, dog hair and cat puke and fur balls and all that stuff. And so we were like, you know what? Under all this mess, there is a really nice couch. So we started washing and scrubbing and cleaning and vacuuming that couch to leave it out presentable. And it was cleaning out really good. So it was a really nice couch, and we started cleaning out really good. After five trips, we were tired, and we were just putting a bunch of work into it, right? We were finishing washing the couch.
And if you want to hear the rest of it, you've got to listen to the next episode.
Oh, boy.
Check out the next episode of The Completely Mental Misadventures of a Thrift Store to find out what happens with this donation from Jose. Everybody, peace out. Jose.
Well, stay tuned, because here's where the real nightmare begins.
Oh, I can't wait.